Good evening to everybody. Thank you for all coming out. In the spirit of Christmas and the holiday season, I wanted to make tonight's creation slide have to, something to do with Christmas. And I looked up stuff in space that had to do with Christmas or had any correlation to Christmas, and I couldn't really find anything. So then my next thought would be to just talk about an animal that is probably the first one that everyone thinks of when they hear the word Christmas. So tonight's creation slide is about a reindeer. I'm going to be completely honest, I really thought reindeer were fake, and most of my life. Probably, I don't remember when I learned that they were real animals, but it was probably too late compared to most people in the world. But some interesting facts about this animal are that they are obviously part of the deer family. It's in the name. Some more facts is that while all reindeer have antlers, the male reindeer begin to shed their antlers early in December after their mating season. And in contrast with that, the female reindeer keep their antlers all year long. And so if you see a reindeer in a very cold area, and it's not in the December season, it's most likely a female reindeer. Another interesting fact that I thought was kind of a cool correlation, reindeer have 25% more blood vessels in their nose than humans do. This helps them keep their noses warm, which allows them to warm them up in the frigid air before they breathe in. Exposure to extreme cold or exercise increases blood flow, and with so many extra blood vessels in their noses, they can turn a light rosy color or a light pink color, which I thought was cool because it correlates to the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, although there isn't an actual Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, since some of them can have a rosy pink color, I think it was a really cool correlation. Another interesting fact that I had no idea about is that reindeer have also adapted to see ultraviolet light. While humans are no strangers to ultraviolet light, we are unable to see anything in UV. UV rays are commonly known to cause sunburn or snow blindness by reflecting brightly off the snow, but reindeer, however, have adapted to see better in these conditions. This not only protects their eyes, but allows them to see other food and other animals camouflaged in the snow. And so, just in preparation for the holiday, Christmas holiday coming up, I thought the reindeer would be a perfect animal for our creation slide tonight. So for tonight's lesson, I was given an open topic. And growing up, I always loved hearing character stories about people that had important roles in the Bible. And so for tonight's character study, we're going to be talking about one lady who probably wasn't the greatest person in the world. However, she still chose to take God's side. And it really worked out for her and her family in the end. And so tonight, we're going to talk about the story of Rahab the harlot. And however, before we go any further, we have the opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. I'm not going to keep you very long here tonight, but I still think this is a great story that we can talk about. For the lesson this evening, we're going to be spending most of our time in the book of Joshua. And so starting off in the second chapter of Joshua, we will read about the story of Rahab. So, maybe we won't. None of my words copied over. Okay. I'll just read it from here then. Okay. Joshua 2 and verse 1 reads, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, 'Go, view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.' So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your home, for they have come to search out all the country.' Now, as we all know, spies were being sent out across the lands to scout the land of Jericho in preparation for the battle that would eventually take place. So in the process of sending out some of these spies by the Israelites, they kind of sort of got caught. What I mean by that is they didn't technically get caught, but the people of Jericho, and especially the king, became aware of their presence. And so when the king of Jericho knew about the spies that were in his country, he went straight to Rahab, telling her to basically inform him where they went, or to give up their location. Either way, Rahab is in a tough spot, because I'm guessing somebody either, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say how it happens, but someone saw the spies either at Rahab's house or going to it. So she's in a tough spot. And basically, Rahab has two options. She can give up the location of the spies in order to please her king, or she can hide them and basically lie to the king, but she would be on God's side. So those are her two options. And so continuing on in verse 4, we can see what Rahab does. So Joshua chapter 2, verse 4 reads, "Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. And where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the forts. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate." And so, in reading that, it says she hid them with stalks of flax. I didn't really know what flax was. I looked up a picture of it. So that's flax. That's like processed flax. To me, it looks kind of like a wig or rope. I don't have a picture of it, but before it's processed, just a plant, it looks like a weed. I didn't really know what flax was until I looked it up. But so basically, she hid the spies in this big old wig. And so that's what they were hidden from, or that's how they hid from the king of Jericho. And so, continuing on verse 8, it reads, "Now before they lay down, she came to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og," who it's basically what we just talked about last week, "whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So basically, Rahab knew she had gotten pretty lucky. It doesn't say how, as I said earlier, but somehow Rahab ended up with hiding the spies in her home. And so, in doing this act of kindness, Rahab sees an opportunity, because hearing basically through the grapevine, the city of Jericho has heard about the Israelites. They have heard how they utterly destroyed Sihon and Og, all the miracles, and splitting, parting of the Red Sea. They had heard about all that, and they were scared. It mentioned earlier that the courage was gone from all the citizens of Jericho. And so now, seeing that the spies were in desperate need of help, Rahab saw her opportunity and decided to take it. So she struck a deal with the spies. Since she helped hide them from the king of Jericho and basically directed all the guards and the king the other way, since she did that, she wanted to be spared from when the Israelites attacked Jericho. And so, her bargain was, since she spared them, the Israelites would spare her and her family when the Israelites attacked. So continuing on in verse 14, we can read what the spies' responses were. Verse 14 reads, "So the men answered her, 'Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you.' Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, 'Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you there. Hide there for 3 days, until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go on your way.' So the men said to her, 'We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all of your father's household into your home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of this house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear.' Then she said, 'According to your words, so be it.' And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window." So in response to her bargain or her deal, the spies basically say, yes, you saved us. And so your lives are the same as our lives. You saved us, so we're going to save you. But they were able to escape the Red Scarlet Cord, Scarlet Rope, whatever you want to picture in your mind. Hanging out the window, they were able to crawl down and run off into the woods. And so that was their kind of key into knowing who to save from the deal they struck with Rahab. They mentioned whoever was in Rahab's home, the home with the scarlet cord hanging out the window, they would be spared. But whoever was outside the home, I mean, they would just be another victim of the attack on Jericho. So they made sure to put emphasis on that and discussing the deal they had struck with Rahab. And so continuing on in verse 22, it reads, they departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days, just as Rahab had said, until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but they did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Hearing her deal, the spies agreed to spare Rahab and her family, since she was so kind and so willing enough to help them, help hide them, and eventually help them escape. And as I mentioned earlier, right before the spies went off into the wilderness to hide for 3 days, they gave Rahab very specific instructions. She was told to hang the scarlet cord out the window, a sign to the Israelites to not touch this home. So that is really the main story of Rahab the harlot. And so we won't really hear about anything until a couple of chapters later in Joshua. So flipping over to Joshua chapter 6, we can really see how this deal ended up for Rahab. We know how it ended up for the spies, because they were able to get away and get back to the Israelites and let them know all that they had seen and heard in the city of Jericho. But now we can see what happened to Rahab's side of it. So starting off in Joshua chapter 6, verses 17, it reads, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So the spies held up their end of the bargain. Basically, Rahab helped them escape, they made the bargain, and then the spies ended up coming through with their part of the bargain at the end. And so whenever the Battle of Jericho began, anyone who was inside of her home was saved. And continuing on in verse 23, it reads, and the young men who had been spies went out and brought Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had in her home. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had who dwelled in her house. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent out to spy Jericho. After being spared from the Israelites, Rahab was able to live in Israel after the attack of Jericho. Not only did this act of kindness save her life, but she was able to save everyone in her family's life as well, all because of a simple act of kindness. And so, all in all, the story of Rahab hardly ends on a good note. Rahab, as we all know, was really not the greatest person before the events of the Battle of Jericho. She was not the greatest person. She had made some decisions and choices that probably shouldn't have been made. The point is that she was able to turn her life around. After striking a deal with the spies and being spared from the attacks of Jericho, she was able to live in Israel and flip her life around. During the Battle of Jericho, Rahab found herself on God's side due to her kind action. And as we all know, you always want to be on God's side. Anyone who is not on God's side doesn't really end up too well. Anyways, I said I wouldn't keep you here very long. It wasn't a long lesson. I just always love the story of Rahab and the meaning behind it. It's really comforting to know that we all make mistakes and we all sin, but we all have at the same time, we all have the opportunity to get back on God's side. We have the opportunity to repent of our sins in our lives. And so that's really the message of this story, and that's why it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Anyways, that's all I have for this evening. Hopefully something I said was beneficial, and now we can stand and sing the song of invitation.